This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. A very famous book, screenplay, and stage play is that of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Most of you know the tale, but I will summarize it for those who are unfamiliar with it. In the 1800s in England, this fictional story is told of a young man named Ebenezer Scrooge, who grew up poor and made it his aim in life to get money, lots of money, and to keep it to himself, to hoard the money in the bank. Money became the main thing he thought about all the time. Getting more money engrossed him constantly. He valued it more than the love of a woman, more than family. Here is an actual quoted excerpt of this play, a scene between Scrooge and his fiancée, Belle. Scrooge saw himself. He was older now, a man in the prime of his life. His face had not the harsh and rigid lines of later years, but it had begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. There was an eager, greedy, restless motion in the eye, which showed the passion that had taken root, and where the shadow of the growing tree would fall. He was not alone, but sat by the side of a fair young girl in a mourning dress, in whose eyes there were tears, which sparkled in the light that shone out of the ghost of Christmas past. "It matters little," she said softly, "to you, very little. Another idol has displaced me. And if it can cheer and give comfort to you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no just cause to grieve." "What idol has displaced you?" he rejoined. "A golden one. This is the even-handed dealing of the world," he said. "There is nothing on which it is so hard as poverty, and there is nothing it professes to condemn with such severity as the pursuit of wealth." Our topic on the Vision for Christ World broadcast today is idolatry, and specifically the tendency of all humanity to place something or someone in higher esteem or importance than God and His only Son, Jesus Christ. Idolatry does not have to be a carved wooden pole planted in the ground that people bow down and worship. More commonly these days, it is things like our job, career, money accumulation, wishing you had a supermodel for a wife, wishing you could be an admired celebrity like the media displays for us in Hollywood. In short, an idol is something, really anything, we place before God in importance or fascination in our minds. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in the name of Jesus, amen. Some source material for this program is from GodQuestions.org. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our website address, visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website, visionforchristworld.com/contact. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address, visionforchristworld.com. The definition of idolatry is the worship of idols or excessive devotion to or reverence for some person or thing. An idol is anything that replaces the one true God. The most prevalent form of idolatry in Bible times was the worship of images that were thought to embody the various pagan deities. Ultimately, the answer to this question is sin. It is the sin nature of man that causes us to worship modern idols, all of which are in reality forms of self-worship. The temptation to worship ourselves in various ways is a powerful temptation indeed. In fact, it is so powerful that only those who belong to Christ and have the Holy Spirit within them can possibly hope to resist the temptation of modern idolatry. Even then, resisting the worship of idols is a lifelong battle that is part of the Christian life. When we hear the word idol, we often think of statues and objects reminiscent of those worshipped by pagans in ancient cultures. However, the idols of the 21st century often bear no resemblance to the artifacts used thousands of years ago. Today, many have replaced the golden calf with an insatiable drive for money or prestige or success in the eyes of the world. Some pursue the high regard of others as their ultimate goal. Some seek after comfort or a myriad of other passionate yet empty pursuits. Sadly, our societies often admire those serving such idols. In the end, however, it does not matter what empty pleasure we chase after, or what idol or which false god we bow down to. The result is the same: separation from the one true God. Understanding contemporary idols can help us to understand why they prove to be such a powerful temptation. An idol can be anything we place ahead of God in our lives, anything that takes the place of God in our hearts, such as possessions, careers, relationships, hobbies, sports, entertainment, goals, greed, addictions to alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography, etc. Some of the things we idolize are clearly sinful, but many of the things we idolize can be very good, such as relationships or careers. Yet Scripture tells us that whatever we do, we are to do it all for the glory of God, and that we are to serve God only. Unfortunately, God is often shoved out of the way as we zealously pursue our idols. Worse yet, the significant amount of time we often spend in these idolatrous pursuits leaves us with little or no time to spend with the Lord. We sometimes also turn to idols seeking comfort from the hardships of life and the turmoil in our world. Addictive behaviors such as drug or alcohol use, or even something like excessive reading or television viewing, may be used as a means of temporarily escaping a difficult situation or the rigors of daily life. The things of this world will never fully satisfy the human heart. They were never meant to. The sinful things deceive us and ultimately lead us only to death. See Romans 6:23. The good things of this world are gifts from God, meant to be enjoyed with a thankful heart in submission to Him for His glory. But when the gift replaces the giver, or the created replaces the creator in our lives, we have fallen into idolatry. The Ten Commandments are recorded in the Bible in Exodus 20:1-17 and Deuteronomy 5:6-21. The second of those commandments in its entirety is this: you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. This command is closely linked with the first, which says, you shall have no other gods before me. Having other gods is idolatry. God hates idolatry in any form. In fact, God even mocks those who create idols. Listen to what God says through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 44, verses 8 to 19. You are my witnesses. Is there any god but me? There is no other sheltering rock. I know of none. All who form idols are nothing. The things in which they delight are worthless. Their witnesses cannot see. They recognize nothing, so they are put to shame. Who forms a god and casts an idol that will prove worthless? Look, all his associates will be put to shame. The craftsmen are mere humans. Let them all assemble and take their stand. They will panic and be put to shame. A blacksmith works with his tool and forges metal over the coals. He forms it with hammers. He makes it with his strong arm. He gets hungry and loses his energy. He drinks no water and gets tired. A carpenter takes measurements. He marks out an outline of its form. He scrapes it with chisels and marks it with a compass. He patterns it after the human form, like a well-built human being, and puts it in a shrine. He cuts down cedars and acquires a cypress or an oak. He gets trees from the forest. He plants a cedar and the rain makes it grow. A man uses it to make a fire. He takes some of it and warms himself. Yes, he kindles a fire and bakes bread. Then he makes a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over that half he cooks meat. He roasts a meal and fills himself. Yes, he warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm as I look at the fire." But with the rest of it, he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships it. He prays to it, saying, "Rescue me, for you are my God." They do not comprehend or understand, for their eyes are blind and cannot see. Their minds do not discern. No one thinks to himself, nor do they comprehend or understand, and say to themselves, "I burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I baked bread over the coals. I roasted meat and ate it. With the rest of it, should I make a disgusting idol? Should I bow down to dry wood?" We often search for peace or identity through relationships, substances, money, or entertainment. Addictions are forms of idolatry, as are a host of other worldly enticements that cannot ultimately satisfy. When we give ourselves to the pursuit of man-made gods, we are breaking the second commandment. Even good things can become idols if we are not careful. Ministry, hobbies, charity work, or family can take over the rightful place only God should hold in our lives. When we emotionally rely on anything other than our relationship with Him to validate us, we are breaking the second commandment. So the solution, though it is obvious, is to repent, to stop placing things or people before God. If you have not yet surrendered the will of your life to the control of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, then trust in Jesus now. Do not wait another minute. Trust your life to Christ and walk away from your past life of sin and idolatry. Now let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, truly turning away from sin, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our website address is visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website at visionforchristworld.com/contact. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. We know that everyone fathered by God does not sin, but God protects the one he has fathered, and the evil one cannot touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us insight to know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This one is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols.